So I was thinking we'll have a little bit of a longer, a bit more guided meditation, directed meditation concerning forgiveness later. So I thought maybe we'll just start with 5 minutes meditating before I even open my mouth. First, thank you for inviting me, and it's really lovely to see you. Let yourself settle into the sensations in your body. Notice the touch between your body, the chair, the ground. And notice the sensations in your body, starting from your feet going upwards, if there's tension or tightness in your shoulders and neck, let them drop with the exhale. Let your jaw drop. Eyes soften. Space between your eyebrows opening up. And allow your whole body to be filled with presence. From that field of presence, notice breath arising with the inhale, letting go with the exhale. Notice breath in the area of your chest where your heart is. Notice what's going on in the area of your heart. Sometimes there's a bit of constriction or a bit of ache or numbness, lightness or heaviness. Just notice breath brushing through. With each exhale, letting go a little more. Allow your heart to be breathed. And for a moment, as you know, our today's topic is forgiveness. Notice if there is a hope, an intention in your heart, in your mind. What do you hope from this morning's session for yourself? Is it more freedom? Freedom from suffering? More freedom to love and engage? Just notice what is going on. And again, notice breath brushing through ever so gently. And let's return here to this place we share together. How many weeks did you already have on this wonderful book? The six? Wow. So you really pondered and worked it. Well, and how many more do you have? One? 10. All right. Okay. So, for this week, you read Desmond Tutu's chapter on renewing and releasing relationship as part of the forgiveness process, right? Which was a really interesting chapter. Maybe to begin with, I wanted to say we all live in a web of relationships. However, the thread that makes up relationship often gets damaged. And when we work through our hurts, then either renewal or release can follow. And, you know, often in the beginning we don't know what it will be. Will it be renewal or will it be release? In my opinion, you know, and I come from the point of view of being a psychologist and a spiritual practitioner, I think that sometimes we have to first work internally on a stressed relationship. And this might be a relationship with somebody who's still alive, or it might be something from the past. It might be that this is a stress relationship that now only exists in our minds and hearts, or it might be somebody we are still dealing with. Sometimes it is clear who in a relationship is the one to blame, and often it is not. Sometimes we have aspects of both, the perpetrator and the victim in us. What is clear is that the one who hurt us and us, or we might have been the hurters, that we all are part of the web of life. In Buddhist philosophy, it is said that innumerable causes and conditions are leading up to every event. And perhaps in most cases, things are more complicated than we first think. Gosh, I have a memory coming up. Many of you know that I was for 12 years on the independent response team for the Franciscan Friars, a mission that didn't end too well. It was very difficult. And I just remember the victims and the perpetrators coming forward to our board and reading the psych reports of the perpetrators. And this is not to excuse or condone anything, but I do remember that each one of them was a very sad story. There wasn't one person who came from a, let's say, happy childhood. And again, I wanted to say that's not to excuse anything, but it was just having these 12 years of people coming in and out, realizing this is all very, very intricate and complicated and fateful. Desmond Tutu looks in his book at situations where people consciously and intentionally meet to resolve their hurt, following the concepts introduced by the truth and reconciliation process. And truth and reconciliation is a wonderful process, but primarily an external, literal, and outer process. Today, maybe just because of who I am, I want to introduce you to the intrapsychic work guided by what I call the spiral of compassion and forgiveness, which can work in conjunction with the truth and reconciliation process. It doesn't, you know, it can just stand on its own, and it can work in conjunction with this. After introducing some ideas that prepare the ground for the spiral of compassion and forgiveness, I will explain it step by step with the help of an example. Then I will lead you through the meditation so you can have your own experience of the intention, working with the intention of compassion and forgiveness. And just, you know, quite often when there is a talk like this, at least I am like this, I kind of have some example in my mind about myself, and I just wanted to recommend that you don't take the worst injury of your life as the example you hold in your mind, but maybe something you experienced, a hurt, a miscommunication, an imbalance you experienced more recent, and maybe it's more smaller. So otherwise, it might be too overwhelming. And, you know, sometimes when we only look at the one worst thing that happened to us, there's a danger of falling back into the same groove of feelings. And sometimes it's good to start with something smaller. I want to suggest that when we do inner work besides outer work, the outer aspect of the forgiveness process will be more smoothly and effectively. You know, it's like doing the prep work, so to speak, before painting the house. Then our healing can become even deeper through this process. First, I want to stop for a moment and speak about the Buddhist view on mindfulness and compassion practice, as such preparation leads up to our work with forgiveness. It prepares the ground. You know, we don't just jump without being able to swim in the deep side of the pool. You know, we start a little slower. When we begin to look at our hurts, a lot is brought into focus that is hard to look at. Those hurts almost always emerge from our relationships with others. You know, sometimes it's how a house burned down, but most of the time it's something that happens in relationship. Those which we encounter in present days often remind us of the ones from the past. You know, sometimes those wounds we carry from way back set a pattern that reappears. And so whether we work on a present day injury or a past injury, it often works with the same wound, or let's say a similar wound. Where was I? Those which we encounter in present days, as I said, often remind us of the ones from the past. A heightened sense of awareness, including increased mindfulness and self-compassion, forms what I might call a psycho-spiritual container. And in psychology, we often have this word, especially in more psychodynamic psychology, of a therapeutic container, a place within the relationship with the therapist where we can trust enough and feel safe enough to look at some of these old wounds and or present day wounds. And so I thought, in a way, what we are creating here is a psycho-spiritual container. It's not in a little room with a therapist now, but it is a container that's made up of having the skill of mindfulness, being able to attend without clinging or grabbing what comes up, or without condemning ourselves. Or self-compassion is something that's often really hard for us. So, but it allows us to look at what's uncomfortable to face. So the practice of mindfulness and compassion, especially self-compassion, creates a safe vessel in which we experience the trust and security we need to witness and work with the fallout of difficult relationships. Does that make sense? Yeah. I don't know, maybe has this been already, is this new for you or it's okay? Okay. Holding an attitude, and John Kabat-Zinn coined that word, of affectionate attention, I like that, affectionate attention, can allow us to face our difficult emotions, challenging realizations of what we might have done in the past, or attitudes we hold at present, or even more, our worries and fears regarding the future, which so many of us have. You know, what will be happening the next 10, 20 years ahead? Then we can engage in what is in Buddhist philosophy called clear seeing. We can see clearly, which is seeing without distorting, you might say. Seeing without falling right away into rumination. To see clearly while holding a compassionate stance for ourselves and others is the prerequisite for our work with forgiveness. At least that's what I think. You know, that's probably different views, but that's the angle. That at least is true for me, for myself. Okay, I'll say that again. To see clearly while holding a compassionate stance for ourselves and others is the prerequisite for our work with forgiveness. Does that make sense? Often people wonder, and you know, I come from a Catholic background, so I had been struggling with that a lot. Often we wonder how to distinguish between self-compassion and self-indulgence. Oh, yeah. Huh? Yeah. I had 9 years of Catholic boarding school, four years boarding school, but 9 years in the school. Yeah. And I learned a lot of wonderful things, but there was a little bit of Catholic guilt to work through too. I understand true self-compassion as an authentic willingness to, quote, suffer with ourselves. And that is what com is with, and passion is suffer with. That's the Latin translation. I had 5 years of Latin in that school. So I understand true self-compassion as an authentic willingness to suffer with ourselves, which implies a conscious readiness to feel the sensations and emotions of hurt. Does that make sense? Yes. Self-indulgence, however, smacks of self-pity, or, quote, feeling sorry for ourselves. So what is happening there? Self-pity is about a thought, a belief we hold about ourselves, which might be that we are disadvantaged, treated wrongfully, or that we might be lacking in some way. Such a conviction heightens the sense of separation between ourselves and those around us, and also can widen the gulf between ourselves and within ourselves. So that doesn't mean that it's not important to acknowledge if we were victimized. You know, so when having been on this board, there were many who were children. You know, it's like if you're a child, there's nothing you can do. So it was clearly that those people were terribly victimized. But if we then later as adults just kind of stay stuck there, then it can become an impediment. Then it kind of can cocoon us, you know, up and kind of become an impediment for growth. So coming from a stance of self-pity or self-loathing makes it hard to find the spirit of forgiveness and generosity within ourselves. And I just thought about that yesterday when I was working on this. Forgiveness and generosity, I think, originate from the same place in our hearts. It's actually just something I thought yesterday, and I talked to Michael Carney, my husband, and he thought that's actually true. In a way, there is a bit of generosity in forgiveness. We are able to give something to ourselves and others. Self-compassion implies that our relationship to experience can be different. Now we are willing to be present with what is and put our beliefs and preconceived notions aside. To be present with our experience in the present moment means that we are willing to sense what is going on in our bodies, however uncomfortable it might be. And I was just thinking this morning, bright and early at 8, I saw a couple in my office, and they had a fight last week and wanted to talk about this, and it was very much retelling the story, you know, but I said and you said and you said and I said, and when they finally came to feel their hurt and their anger and their grief in their bodies, in their hearts, then something new was able to happen. And then there was always this pull to come back to the story. But, da 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 da. And then, you know, it was quite interesting. It showed to me again how, and in a way, we make ourselves vulnerable when we feel what's going on in our bodies. But that's where we can come into the present moment and where change can happen. Much of our distress has been produced in relationship. For example, we might have experienced sadness or resentment when we felt disappointed or hurt. Then our beliefs about those we are in conflict with, as well as ourselves, sometimes become mere caricatures. Our perceptions about ourselves and them can become rigidified and set in stone. By leaving our beliefs behind and by allowing ourselves to experience what is going on in the present moment, we will be able to transform the contraction that intensifies our pain and instead allow the spaciousness and fluidity that comes with being in the present moment. In this way, we can unlock our heart to expand outward and move through our suffering with the intention of widening our capacity to suffer with. Compassion might mean to suffer with the hurt that is within us and in others, or the one that might be in the world and with all there is. Right now I work with a whole group of people who are at the university climate scientists, who often have, you know, just very, very heavy and burdensome knowledge about the world, the environment. And I can see how hard that is to hold. You know, so to have this knowledge that they feel often very alone with. Clear seeing and opening our hearts allows us to authentically care for ourselves and others in pain. Mindfulness and compassion makes us internally ready to be able to forgive. The spirit of the spiral of compassion and forgiveness offers a path to deeply experience the hurt we feel or felt in our bodies and hearts. Here, we try to put ourselves in the shoes of the one we had a problem with, now within a safe psycho-spiritual container. When we allow ourselves to experience deeply, to be truly present with what is, then it is easier to extend compassion and even forgiveness. However, when we on the contrary experience our sorrow as stuck within, as a brooding and chewing on our thoughts and sentiments, then there is a closed system which might be feeding on itself, and it all remains stuck within. When that stuck energy can be released to an open system and can become part of a bigger flow again, then even though the energy is still the same, it will no longer be stuck in that inflamed, closed structure. Does that make sense? One could see the spiral of compassion and forgiveness as forming an intentional pathway out of a trapped entanglement. Just like a dancer rehearses the sequence of moves ahead. And you might have heard that sometimes dancers or gymnasts rehearse moves ahead, and then they can there's a pathway, even a neural pathway, that then it's easier to follow. But here we do not only practice a process in our minds, but also prepare the way to healing by opening our hearts. And recently I found an article that there are a lot of neurons in our hearts that are just like the neurons in our brains. So we can, if you email me, I can give you the reference. So we can give our hearts a taste of what is possible. Let me just check my time. Oh my gosh. Well, time goes faster than I thought. Maybe I have to skip my example and go to the practice. So this is a 10-step process I want to propose, which includes first focusing ourselves, looking inward, and seeing what is there. What is the hurt, what is the memory, what's the situation there. And then to come to a place of compassion and then forgiveness, first to ourselves. And because often, even if we think we were truly the victim in a situation, we are still often mad at ourselves that we have gotten into that situation. How did I get myself there? So to kind of let that go. And then to extend, and I wanted to say forgiveness is not seen here as a way of whitewashing, but as a way of letting go of the grudge, of the resentment that we are holding. Because as my teacher Jack Kornfield says, our enemy might be sitting right now in the Bahamas on a lawn chair, and we are still holding the resentment, you know. So we are not even punishing them effectively, you know. So all we can do really is, you know, let go ourselves. And again, it's not about changing history. And the other thing I just wanted to say is sometimes it's too hard to actually authentically feel, especially with the other, if that was somebody who hurt us badly. I feel compassion for you, or I forgive you. But sometimes we have to start with an intention. The intention to one day, maybe in 20 years or in 10 years, I have the intention to let my resentment go. And it's kind of cracking the door open just a little bit. And then it's again forming this imaginal pathway. So maybe I just wanted to say that. And so maybe make yourself comfortable and and again, let yourself sense the sensations in your body, the touch between the feet and the ground, your body touching the chair. Let yourself be here now. Notice your whole body being filled with presence. Breath arising, expanding with the inhale, letting go with the exhale. For the moment, allow your body to be breathed. Letting go with the exhale. Follow the sensation of those few breaths. Allow breath to be with you in the present moment. And then turn your gaze inward. Notice breath brushing through the area of the heart. And notice what's going on. And remember a time, maybe recently, where you felt hurt or disappointed or not treated the way you wanted it. There was a sense of loss or even of betrayal. Just notice what comes up naturally to your mind's eye. And as that happens, just notice what that feels like in your body, and especially in your heart, as breath brushes through. And as you see what happened clearly while holding an attitude of mindfulness and compassion and warmth, tolerance, see what happens when you extend compassion, warmth, caring towards yourself. May I be well, you might say to yourself. May I be healed. May I hold myself with compassion. May I offer myself compassion even when I feel vulnerable or in pain. May I be free. May I be free from the suffering and the causes of suffering. May I find the support I need. And may life rise up to meet me. And again, notice breath brushing through ever so gently. And then see what happens when you extend forgiveness towards yourself. You let go of a grudge or resentment or disappointment you were holding towards yourself. Letting go of the conviction that you should have done better or should have been tougher or done something different. May I be able to let go of the resentment I feel towards myself. May I be able to hold myself freely. May I be able to forgive myself for what I did, for ending up in the situation I found myself in. May I be able to let go of resentment I hold towards myself. Again, noticing breath brushing through, connecting inhale with exhale and exhale with inhale. Breath brushing through ever so gently. And then expand your compassion a little bit, your well-wishing. And imagine in your mind's eye, hold in your mind's eye others who have experienced a similar predicament to yours, who have suffered through a similar story. Those many, many people who also felt what you felt or something similar to it. You might say, may all you be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all you receive warmth and care. May all you be able to forgive and receive forgiveness. May you all be happy and free. Again, notice breath brushing through the area of the heart, like the wind brushing through the leaves of a tree. And then hold in your mind's eye that person you had a problem with, whatever it may be. And see their past and their present, maybe their future. And see what happens when you extend a sense of care and warmth towards them. Or if that's not possible, at least holding the intention to one day feel warmth and care. May you be well. May you be healthy. May you be free. May your heart heal. Notice breath brushing through ever so gently. And then see what happens if you extend forgiveness towards that person, or at least the intention to one day, maybe in 10 years, be able to do that. To let go of your resentment, your grudge, whenever you're ready. May I be able to offer you forgiveness one day. May I be able to let go of my resentment, the burden of my difficult feelings. May I be able to one day wish you well. May I one day be able to set you free. Again, notice breath brushing through ever so gently, connecting inside with outside and outside with inside, connecting us all. And then extend the spiral a little further and think of all these people all over this globe who experience hurt and resentment on a personal level, on a societal level, on a political level. Imagine the people in Jerusalem and in Gaza, and then on the mountain in Iraq a little while ago, and everywhere, in East Los Angeles and Beverly Hills, and you know, wherever people are, there are people who suffer in their hearts. May we all be free. May we all be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May we all find the support we need. May life rise up to meet us all. And again, notice breath brushing through ever so gently, connecting inside with outside and outside with inside, connecting us all. And then expand even further to all beings, humans, animals, creatures, the earth, the skies, the waters. May we all be taken care of. May we all hold each other in friendship and warmth. Notice breath brushing through ever so gently, connecting inside with outside and outside with inside, amongst and between us, connecting us all. Stay with your breath for a moment, with the warmth, the tolerance, compassion, the forgiveness, with affectionate attention. And see if maybe there's even a little bit of gratitude. Gratitude that you are able to find a way to freedom. That there's hope. That all of us be free and well. Notice your breath for just a moment, connecting inside with outside and outside with inside, connecting us all. And let's send these blessings outward. May the benefits of this meditation, of this exercise, go out into the world and beyond. One thing I realized doing this meditation quite often is if my enemies were actually really healthy and well, they would be really nice people. Well, I hear you have coffee and a break. Yeah.